Good morning. I'd like to say welcome and thank you for coming this morning to God's house. And as we are gathered and those that maybe are looking online, may we be inspired this morning. My name is Larry Kaler from Austin, Manitoba. And it's a real joy and a blessing to be with you this morning and to share the greatest news that this earth can have. Jesus. What a glorious opportunity we have to worship and glorify our Savior, Jesus Christ. In front of your bullets it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Oh, we have so much to bless our great God for. I want to open this morning with a few verses out of Philippians chapter 2. And it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." I don't know about you, but it makes me excited to talk about Jesus. And when Jesus has inspired your life and his Holy Spirit is living within you, we have nothing left but to glorify him and to praise him. And my hope and prayer is for you that the joy of Jesus will be contagious. That all who you meet, they'll be inspired by the joy of serving Jesus. And he has given us so much. He has given us so much peace. But are we trusting him? Are we sacrificing our life for him, surrendering? In Psalm 19, verse 8, he says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Rejoicing the heart. And it says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." My prayer is that's what Jesus has done for you. So let us begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just come before your throne of grace and mercy and love. And as we're gathered here this morning, I just pray that you would enable your Holy Spirit just to move in the midst of our hearts and lives, and that this morning we can be inspired, that we could be motivated by the work that Jesus is doing in our life. And I just pray for spiritual growth that we could see from where we used to be and to where we are now, there's been growth. And if not, Lord, may you just inspire us to love you. And that your Holy Spirit would teach us to grow, to be drawn closer each day that we live. And that we would want to be in right and perfect fellowship with you. And oh, that can be only done through Jesus Christ, who became our righteousness. And Father, this morning, we rebuke our enemy, the one that is fighting against us and would love to destroy us. We rebuke him in the name and power of Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed, that he would have no presence, no power, nor any workings in this building this morning and as we depart in our lives. And may we put a guard around us. May you put a guard around us that would protect us from Satan. He is defeated. Christ is our victory. And so this morning we just bring our hearts, our minds to worship you and glorify you. And as we are going to look in your word, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just open up our understanding. This I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And we'll begin with a few songs this morning.
Take your red book and turn to number 248, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free for all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed his beams around me.
There is a land that is fairer than day. 433.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by.
We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet.
Thank you for your singing. As we, as I prepared a message this morning, the message will be on our dependence on God, but also as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, then living within the commands or boundaries or statutes that he has for us as his children. And when we think about that, many of us say, well, we think of the boundaries that God has for us or the commands. Many of us think of them as grievous, something that is hard to do. But I want to change that perspective in your mind this morning. I want you to say that what God has said that you should do is very good. And I want to start off in Deuteronomy 28. And I know this is going back in the Old Testament, but I'll work my way through the scriptures. And when we think about all the blessings we have received from our God, I believe and am convinced it has created an independence spirit within us. And many of us may say, oh, I don't really need my friends or my neighbors or my fellowship. I don't need a church. This independence has led us also to say that I don't need God. But if we realize how much we are dependent on Him, He continues to bless us. And to the Israelites, he said in Deuteronomy 28, he says, and it's verse 1, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. He says, if you will hearken and do all that I command. And see, we have a problem with that phrase, all that I command thee to do. The rebellion of our heart does not like that phrase. Because that is somebody else telling me what I need to do. And for some reason, we don't like it. But I want you to see today that God has the very best in mind for you. He wants to bless you and protect you. He wants to give you peace and joy. And so if we can take our rebellion in our heart, that, you know, I come under God who created me. He allowed me to live on His earth. He woke me up this morning and there was still breath in my lungs, and my heart was still beating. And he says, you know what, if you'll do these things, and then he goes on and he lists all the blessings that I will do for you. He says, I will set you on a high above all nations of the earth. And he says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Just think about that phrase, they will come upon you and overtake you. If thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. And he goes on, I'm not going to read that all this morning, but God, these commands are our boundaries. When we think of a boundary, we think of something that we could break this down into many different topics. So boundary sets a dividing. When we think of a physical boundary, it could be like your property. Okay, my property is so many feet wide and so long, and many people build fences, or there's some kind of marker or map that defines your boundary. When we think of a boundary for our Christian life, so let's say we remove all of God's commands, we don't know anything, and God just says, here, I'll pluck you on earth and I won't tell you anything. Wouldn't that be very confusing? We wouldn't know what is right, what is wrong. We wouldn't know, have I crossed over his line or have I not? And so I see in society today we raise our children so we don't tell them anything. So they're confused. They don't know which way to turn. Because parents aren't concerned, number one, and they don't set boundaries. But God has set those boundaries for us as Christians, and they're not there to destroy us. They're there to help us and to guide us. And they will actually bring order in our life. They will bring peace They will bring joy. They will bring contentment. And all our needs will be met. If you continue to read Deuteronomy 28, that's what he'll tell you. And so we need to also think when we step outside of these boundaries that there will be consequences. That's what God told Israel. So we have, I already mentioned physical boundaries. We have moral boundaries, principles which guide our behavior, distinguishing between right and wrong, good and bad. When we think about boundaries on the moral side, it's deteriorated so bad in our land, even among Christians. Then we could go into relationships and marriages and financial. But all of these boundaries will require what I'm going to speak about today is self-control. Self-control. But in order to be a Christian with self-control, we need to know what God says. And we can find that in His Word. And so first of all, we need to know who we are. Are you truly a born-again believer? Have you been bought? See, most of us, we don't buy a new car and then give it to our neighbor. We like to keep it. We like to enjoy it ourselves. And I want to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Sorry, that's not the verse I wanted. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians 7 and verse 23. He says, ye are bought with a price, be not ye servants of men. We are bought with a price. So what was that price? What was that price? Let's turn to 1 Peter Chapter 1. I'm going to go back and forth here a little bit. First Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What does that mean? How were you purchased? Well, when Jesus went to the cross, he lost a lot of blood. Probably almost all of his blood. First, he lost some when he was whipped. And when his side was pierced, the blood ran down. And I want you to picture this morning that blood ran down upon you so that you could have your sins. See, we fell short from the glory of God. But that blood made us clean. And you and I, we have to accept that payment. We have to accept the cruelty of Jesus on the cross for our wrong. And then what happens is, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. And he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? That new car that you bought and gave it away, it's not yours anymore. When we come to the cross and accept the payment of Christ in our life, he says we are bought with that price. And then he says we are no longer our own. And this is the problem today. We live like I still own myself. Because we live after the flesh. What I desire, what I want, that's what I do. That's what I want to do. But if we don't consult with the one who bought me, then I don't know where the boundaries are. And so he has given us his Holy Spirit today. And when we go to his holy word, the word of God, he will, like I read before, enlighten us. Enlighten our eyes, bring joy to our hearts. And we will say, God, I want to live for you. I want to live within your boundaries that I can experience your peace and joy. Paul in Romans 14, 7 to 8, I'm not going to go there, but he says, whether I live or die for Christ, whether I live or die, I die for Christ. But there's so much pressure today just to. And Satan comes to us and says, oh, did God really say that? Does he really mean that? See, that is the problem today. We justify and compromise what God said. But Satan will convince us, just like he did Eve. Did God really say? Because it looks so good. It looks good. The fruit, it says, looked good, and it tasted good. See, stepping outside the boundaries doesn't mean it's actually awful, but to our flesh, it looks good, it seems good, it's probably enjoyable. but only for a time. I think if Adam and Eve could go back and redo, I'm sure many of us have said, well, if I could only take that back, I would do it different. I'm sure Adam and Eve would say, I would never eat that fruit again. Because of the consequence. See, the whole earth was cursed because of one man's sin. And so when you and I, we look outside of our boundary and say, that looks so good, I want it. And I want us in the second part of our message to think about, I'm going to define some boundaries. But I want us to think about, before we do those things, what are the consequences? Am I bringing the blessing of God to my life? And so before we go into our second part, as we have custom of doing, we kneel in prayer. So at this time, I want to give you the opportunity to kneel in prayer and just pray that the Holy Spirit would move and speak to us this morning through His Word. So if you're able to, let us kneel in prayer. Pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Take our blue book and turn to number 293. God will take care of you. 293, let's all stand.
God.
Amen. God will take care of us if we are under His wings. If we are within His commands, He will do more than that. He will take care of us in ways that we cannot comprehend. So as we think of who we are, we're bought with a price. Now we are Christ, and we live for Christ. And when we think of living for Christ, we do what He would want us to do. And that requires, and this is where we get the point that requires us to deny ourselves many times. And we don't like to do that. We don't like to deny our flesh. Just as an example, in the financial, there's a principle: if you spend more than you make, it's going downhill. It's a pretty realistic principle, right? So if you want to get ahead in life, you have to spend less than you make. You have to save. You know how uncommon that is becoming? That's just one principle. Second principle is need to be thankful that we can work, we can receive money. And then we got to think, it's actually God's money. It's actually God's money. And so we should remember Him with it, by giving. Give it away. Maybe not all of it. And then God says, I will pour down the blessings from heaven. This is not a financial message this morning. It's about self-control. I want to turn to the book of 1 Peter again and chapter 2. When we think about self-control, it's controlling my mind, because Satan will bring like I said before, these enticing situations. It won't always just be a tree of fruit. It could be this whatever our desires of our. It could be this new truck or car on the lot, and say, "Man, I would love to have that car." There's a few questions you need to ask. Can I actually afford it? If you can't do this, you shouldn't buy it. Would God be honored if I buy that new car or truck? First Peter 2, I want to read verses 9 to 12. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now ye have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, this one hurts, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I said, if we will see what we want, it could be whatever, new furniture, it could be a house, it could be land, it could be a farm. But this morning I want to say it could be sin, a direct disobedience to God. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I want to give you an example this morning of myself. I was 15 when Jesus Christ, when I said to Jesus, Jesus, I need you in my life. Seventeen is a critical age for a young man. I was not enjoying life. I did not like school. School is not for boys. And my life was so grievous that my thoughts were better, that I would be better off not here than. But one night I cried out to Jesus. I said, I need you. And he changed my life. And it wasn't long after, you know, I turned 16, and what do we want? Somehow our law says that at 16 we can have a piece of paper that qualifies us to drive, even though I started driving at 5 on a farm. So somehow I knew how to drive, but the law says I then qualify to drive. So that's what I wanted. On my birthday, I got my driver's license. But with that, okay, now I can go places. And I had two very good friends. And they tempted me to smoke. They tempted me to go to parties with them. But there was a war in my heart that says, because Jesus had moved in. The Spirit of Jesus was there. And he gave me a war. And he gave me a choice also. And so as a young man, I had to make a choice. Am I going to do what Jesus wants, or am I going to cross this boundary and do what my flesh wants, or what my friends want me to do? I grew up on a dairy farm, and one day my friends came over while we were milking the cows in the evening. Larry, let's go to the movies tonight. And I said, this is going to be easy. I'm going to go ask my dad, and he's going to say no, and I can come back and say no. That's very simple, right? Because I already knew my dad. He would say no. So I went and asked my dad, and he says, can I go with my friends to the movies tonight? And he said, Larry, that decision will be yours today. Whew. I had 2 minutes of agony in my heart. Where I could have, because I knew what God wanted for me. I knew where God wanted me. And it's nothing but by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, I went to my friend and says, no, I'm not going to with you. That was a decision that separated me from my two best friends for many years. I had to seek out other friends that weren't part of a lifestyle of drinking and smoking and movies. This was back in 88, so it was a little different than it is today. We didn't have cell phones and computers. But looking back, this is now, like I'm 55, so this is quite a few years ago, but looking back now, that was a wise choice. Because God saved me from a lot of consequences that I could have endured. And I'm telling you this is part of my life. I'm telling you this morning that when we walk with Jesus, it's not always going to be easy. See, what we just read, that there is a war between my flesh and between obeying Jesus Christ. And he calls us to walk in this self-control. Let's look to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Verses 11 to 14. Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Isn't this a command? That we, when we deny ourselves from ungodliness and worldly lust, live soberly, which means living in our mind with clarity. No, I cannot do this because God says no. I can do this. He gives me that choice, but I will not because I want to obey the one who bought me. See, some of you, when you bought that new car or truck, and for me, it's always old. When I buy that old truck or car, I like to wash it and fix it. And some of you that buy the new stuff, you like to keep washing it so that it looks new. You like to keep air fresheners in there. See, which I can't because I'm allergic to them, so then. And so when I am bought with a price of Christ, I'm going to keep washing. I'm going to put that TLC, that tender loving care, into myself so that I can be the perfect model for Jesus. And it's teaching us. See, denying ungodliness doesn't come, okay, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Today I just made this turn. I no longer do those things. It says, teaching us that denying ourselves, it's a process. When I taught Sunday school, I always taught the oldest class in 15 and 16. They have lots of questions. And they say, Mr. Kaler, can I do this? I said, you can do that. But I can't do that. But I said, I want you to read God's word. I want you to get closer to Jesus. And then ask him, can I do this? Now, there's some very definite things that we shouldn't do, but we want to teach us to get close to our Savior. And the Holy Spirit will guide us. That's what he became our helper. You know, you and I in the flesh can't live righteously. We can only live righteously with the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. And so why would we do this? We sang a song, there's a land that is fairer than day. We're longing for something better than here. Remember I said there's a point in my life I didn't enjoy life. Today I enjoy life because there's a different spirit in me. Verse 13 here, it says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Are we looking? See, many of us, we aren't looking forward to this because Jesus isn't really that important in our life. We don't really love him. And I urge you and encourage you this morning, if you don't love Jesus, get to know him. Get to know Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that ye should be holy and without blemish before him in love. In love. He, Jesus, demonstrated what love is. No matter who he went to on earth, when he was on earth, and whoever listened to him, they got a piece of his love. Many of them got healing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is what his desire for us is. This morning, I just, when we think about self-control, is it easy? No. Is it worth it? Yes. Will God bring his blessings upon your life? Maybe I should ask, do you want his blessings upon your life? I think all of us would say yes. Some would say no because they hate Jesus so much. They don't want nothing of him. But if you are a born-again believer this morning, following Jesus within his bounds, what does that mean? That means we could go back to the Ten Commandments. We don't steal. We wouldn't steal from our friends. We would help them. In relationships, we wouldn't go to our neighbor and say, I just want your wife. When we deny our fleshly lusts, we want the very best for the next person. When we love Jesus, deny ourselves, and have the love of Christ, we want the very best for the next person. Most of all, we'd want to know that they love Jesus and that they know Jesus. In John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18, it says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me and keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth where? With you, and shall be beside you. He says, in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. That's a promise that Jesus left us. So if you feel alone, and maybe your heart is in a war, cry out to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach me. Guide me, lead me, direct me, give me answers, and most of all, give me your peace and joy. I'm pretty optimistic because I think even though the world is dark, the Holy Spirit is working. He is calling people. He's empowering people. And my prayer is for you that you would be empowered and be bold in your walk with Jesus. See, when we look at the church today, we're in a sad state. And I was just reading this week in Joshua. See, Joshua, when they went in to conquer Jericho, God told them exactly what to do. And he said, and I want you to destroy it all. Don't take anything. Do not take anything, he said. They destroyed Jericho with a great victory. Actually, God did it for them. All they had to do was walk around the city every day. But one man saw a nice garment. And then he saw some money. And he went and hid it under his tent. And then they went out to fight Ai. A small little country. Joshua said, oh, we'll only send 3,000 men. And they were utterly destroyed. They lost the battle. And God said to Joshua, there is sin in your camp. You have defiled my commandment. One man took, just had his name on the tip of my tongue, now it's gone. One man took and hid it under his tent. It affected the whole camp. What does that mean today? I said the church was a little bit of a sad state. There's hidden sins. We have an epidemic today. And there's sexual sins. It's pornography. It's fornication. And adultery. These things are hiding underneath you. I don't know who you are, but God does. If we want to be strong and mighty and bold, we will have to confess and plead to God for forgiveness. We will have to deny ourselves and say, this is no longer part of me, but Jesus Christ needs to be part of me. And he needs to cleanse and wash your heart. And he will. And he longs to do that for you. And we'll have to replace our heart with, instead of judgment and criticizing, we will have to replace that spirit with a spirit of forgiveness and thankfulness. God will do mighty things. If there's anyone today, you've never been born again by the Spirit of Jesus, you can come to him. He invites you. I invite you. My prayer was very simple. Jesus, I need you now. It was in the darkest, one of my darkest times in life. If you're there, would you cry out to Jesus? Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life to set me free. And the biggest change in my life was my attitude, being thankful and just pleading for the Holy Spirit to work through me. Spirit of Jesus, just come into me. Allow, we have to allow Him to work. That means we sacrifice, we surrender. Not what Larry wants, but what Jesus wants for me. So let us close in prayer this morning. Father, we just come before you this morning. Maybe what we've heard this morning, it just pricks our heart. I just pray that we could see, though, that following you gives us so much joy and freedom, that we can enjoy life to the fullest, that we could say, Jesus, this body, this life is yours. Use it to your glory, to your honor. And if I have to deny my flesh, and we don't see the reason, or we don't see why, may we just trust you. Like Abraham, and offer him. Jesus, if that's someone here today, would we just say, Lord, I don't understand, but I follow you. I follow you. And I just pray for each heart, each soul who is struggling. Lord, give them light. Give them, may they just cry out to you that they can see, that their eyes might be enlightened and their hearts receive joy. And if there's anyone battling this morning with an addiction, I pray that they would cry out to you. They'd reach out for help. And that they could know that there is so much joy and peace that can be had. And those that are victorious this morning in their life with you, may you just keep strengthening them. And may they be thankful in all things. That their joy would be contagious. Father, you're so good to us. Pray your blessing upon this congregation. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we kneel in prayer again, I have a prayer request. It says, please pray for Frank Harder, son of George and Sarah Harder. Frank is facing a very hard time ahead. Please pray for him for strength and continued faith. Let's remember Frank in your prayers, not just today, but throughout the week. So at this time, I invite you again, if you're able, to kneel with me in silent prayer. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Take the blue book and turn to number 177. God be with you. 177.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Larry, for coming out this morning and bringing us that wonderful message. Also would like to thank the pianists and song leaders for leading us this morning in song. And a few announcements. This is a service opportunity. The Sunday school is in need of one more teacher for class 18, which is the 8-year-old students. Please go see Henry Cron or Peter Martins after the service if you're interested. Thank you. And then things are coming back since summer seems to be ending. The youth is starting up September 17th, as well as college and careers. And that's Wednesdays at 7:30. That is it. And thank you for everyone for coming this morning. Have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you, Henry. Reflecting on the last song, if you just let your imagination think a bit, what do you think it'd be like to sit at the feet of Jesus? Is he coming home with you today as you leave here? Would you be a little embarrassed if he came to your house? Or could you say, oh, Jesus, just come on in? Or would you quickly want to hide some things? You think about sitting at the feet of Jesus. That was my song of comfort when I was going through a difficult time a number of years ago. I just needed Jesus to speak to me and just to show me that, reassure me that I was his child. And he brought that song to my mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I look forward to that day that I can do that face to face. At his feet. And just absorb his glory and his majesty. But he assures us today, you know, he's very real. He's maybe not in person, physically, but his spirit. He says, and the Holy Spirit, which I will send in my name. I will send in my name. I'll send him to you. Think about that. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Thank you for coming, and may you be inspired this morning in your walk with Christ. And if you're not walking with Christ, I urge you. It's the only way to eternal life. It's the only way to have the true peace of God in your life. Let's close in the benediction we find in the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God bless you, and may you have a great week. God be with you till we meet again.
just not the word in,